Mary Robinson is United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights and has been a longtime proponent of human rights around the world. During the time when she was president of Ireland from 1990 to 1997, she visited Rwanda and Somalia after their violent civil wars, one of the few heads of state to do so. In late June, she brought a delegation to Sierra Leone to document the stories of atrocities committed during that West African nation's 8-year civil war and to see firsthand the impact of the fighting on the country's people and infrastructure. I asked her to describe her conversations with local civilians.
Part of the visit included a visit to the Center for Amputees, for example, and I was shocked and really not just moved, but deeply, deeply affected by the amputees whom I met. I held in my arms a beautiful 2-year-old girl. She had only one arm. She was clearly, coping in the sense that how does a child like that understand? Her mother had also died, so she's been looked after by an aunt. And I met an elderly man with both his hands having been cut off, learning to shave, because the Centre for Amputees puts great emphasis on self-reliance, on making amputees themselves and their families self-reliant again. And the work they do and the work of Médecins Sans Frontières and other groups is really extraordinarily important, but it was very shattering to see so many young mothers without a leg or without an arm. I mean, it's hard to comprehend. And very young children without limbs. I also met very courageous and resourceful human rights groups. There are great resources in Sierra Leone, particularly in the people. I met the Chief Justice and went to the High Court and met a number of members who are involved in the court system as judges or barristers. They understand very well from a long tradition the rule of law. So there's a lot to build on in Sierra Leone.
I know you visited Somalia, Rwanda, Kosovo in recent days. How would you compare what you saw in Sierra Leone to those countries that, of course, have been racked by civil war as well?
Perhaps the most pertinent, the most relevant comparison is with the terrible situation in Kosovo, because that has received enormous international attention, and so it should. But I feel sad that because there are conflicts in Africa, and Sierra Leone is not the only one, as you rightly pointed out, that there isn't the same degree of not only attention and focus, but actual support. We need to marshal resources to help to build the sort of infrastructure of human rights, the support for a civil society that is there. Most of what we need to do is not to substitute for people who are there, but to help them, to give them the tools, the resources, the training, the knowledge-based equipment that will help them. And I do feel that just as there has been a great and proper attention to the very severe problems of the Kosovo Albanians and also the Serb and Roma minorities now in Kosovo, so equally we must continue now to have a focus of attention on Sierra Leone.
You were quoted as saying that there was more loss of life in Sierra Leone than in Kosovo. And of course, it's very difficult to compare civil wars. But help us understand what you were saying by that.
I think I was not wanting to make an unfair comparison. What I was aware of is that for the last 8 years, there has been, in effect, a civil war in Sierra Leone between the rebels and government. And in January alone, 4,000 were killed in Freetown and elsewhere in the country. Several thousand young girls between 11 and 15 were raped. I met a number of them. The UNICEF and Médecins Sans Frontières and some very good NGOs, including local NGOs, FAWE, the Federation of African Women for Education, their local chapter in Sierra Leone, is doing very good work with girls who were traumatized by a deliberate targeting for rape, gang rape, multiple rape, as a form of warfare, like the amputations. And I met 5 girls, and one of the things that struck me, again, was the resilience, because one of them, in her school uniform, was going later that morning to take an examination. Mm-hmm. She's 15. Goodness knows what she has suffered, and she has to rebuild her life. And she went with her head held high to try and do her examination. And each of the girls, when they began to recount the awful experience that they'd had broke down and wept. And that was good, because at least they were able to express their grief. Those who have worked with these girls say it's the ones that cannot have any human reaction, that most, you know, they cannot express their reaction. But it's a matter of thousands of girls who were raped. Thousands were killed in January. Over the years, many, many, many have been killed. So we know the situation in Kosovo in much more detail. We know roughly the figures involved. I don't want to make comparisons, except that the violations in Sierra Leone and in other conflicts in Africa are very serious. But if we resourced more, if we prevented more, we really could help.
Could the United Nations have done more to prevent what happened in Sierra Leone?
Yes, as it could have done more to prevent what happened in Kosovo. But what's the United Nations? It is composed of the member states, and it is the more powerful member states that must take the largest share of responsibility.
Is that because member states or the international community just doesn't see Africa as important as other continents, as other countries around the world?
I'm afraid so. I'm afraid there isn't the same identification. You see, when people see on television farmers with their tractors in a rural setting in Kosovo, they identify. When they see amputees in Sierra Leone, somehow they don't identify in the same way. And what we must learn and reread, perhaps, is the Universal Declaration on Human Rights. It guarantees the dignity and worth of every human being, the equality of that dignity and worth, that if one person's human rights are being violated, it actually affects us all. And we have a long way to go to have that. I mean, we talk about a global village. We're very, very far from a village, because actually in a village, certainly in my experience in Ireland, village life meant you cared about your neighbour. We had an Irish word for it. And I use that as president of my country. The idea of having a sense of neighbourliness. Now, at the international level, we also need to have a sense of neighbourliness that isn't confined to people being white and people you can identify with. It must apply to all races, all ethnic groups, all religious backgrounds, and we must care enough about the dignity and worth.
I'll continue my conversation about Sierra Leone with Mary Robinson, the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, after this break. This is Fresh Air. Mary Robinson is the United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights. We're talking about human rights in Sierra Leone, a country she visited in late June. The president of Sierra Leone, elected in 1996, signed a peace accord with the Revolutionary United Front, the rebels who have been fighting the civil war with the government. This was in early July. That included an end to the 8-year civil war. It included lifting of the death sentence against the leader of the RUF. It included power sharing within the government and amnesty for the rebels. Do you support those parts of this peace accord?
Well, I had a very good meeting with President Kaba, and I know how much he wants peace and stability for his people and how much they want it. But it was made clear at the signing of that Lome agreement by the Secretary-General's representative, Francis Okello, that a nation, a country like Sierra Leone, may grant a blanket amnesty. But at the international level, there is no amnesty from crimes against humanity, genocide, war crimes, and, you know, gross violations of human rights. And I said that I felt it would be important to have a process of inquiry, have an examination of the situation, and identify the worst perpetrators who could be brought to justice in due course. And the Secretary General referred to my recommendations in that regard when he reported to the Security Council, and I'm very keen that there would be a commission of inquiry. So I believe that we must listen to the President and people of Sierra Leone. It's their country. They're the ones who've suffered. But we must also, as the international community, not allow impunity from gross violations of human rights, because if we do, there will be another cycle of violence.
Critics of the accord have said, well, in Europe, human rights violators are put on trial, and in Africa, they are given a seat in the government. A fair criticism?
I think that most countries where there has been a long-running civil conflict and great difficulty in bringing it to an end recognize that it may be necessary to make pragmatic adjustments, but certainly there cannot be a total impunity from gross violations, and I believe that there must be a willingness on the part of the international community to have, as I have proposed, a commission of inquiry and to have a tribunal. If that commission of inquiry, as I believe it would come up with clear and cogent evidence, prima facie evidence, to come before a tribunal of gross violations. And obviously there would be a presumption of innocence, as there inevitably is, but there must be a willingness to establish a tribunal. I think that's a fair criticism that's being made. Let's hope it's not true.
But you're saying that even if within Sierra Leone they have fashioned this peace accord, which does give amnesty for rebels, you're saying in the international community and using international law, you have the right, or the UN or outsiders have the right to potentially prosecute rebels or human rights violators?
That's right. A national government would only have the sovereignty to give impunity for violations of national law. And the international community has an international community interest, as well as the interests of the people of Sierra Leone at heart, when it says that it is against impunity. That's the purpose of having international tribunals for the former Yugoslavia and for Rwanda, remember. There is a working international tribunal and doing very good work in relation to the genocidal killing in Rwanda. And we now have the statute of the International Criminal Court. The world has moved forward. This is progress. And this is it's very important that we have an even-handed approach when we approach issues of impunity and how we deal with gross violations of human rights. And certainly as High Commissioner, that's one of the most fundamental values that I will try to support.
An earlier peace accord fell apart. How do you suggest the United Nations help to ensure that this peace works?
Well, as I said, I think there is a marshalling of resources. Speaking from my own office, we're already supporting the National Human Rights Commission and the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. We're going to offer technical cooperation and practical support. I mean, I went into the High Court with the Chief Justice. They have nothing. There was one computer. They don't have typing facilities. They don't have court paper and records. I mean, if any bar associations are listening, they could practically support the administration of justice in Sierra Leone. So that's one thing. I've talked about the strategic framework, which will involve development, humanitarian, peacekeeping, and so on. There will be a very real marshalling of resources. I think it's necessary that governments renew their commitment to Sierra Leone. I mean, certain governments have been particularly supportive for historical reasons, such as the British government, the United States government and others have in the past been supportive. I think it's more important than ever that they would be supportive of building on what is a fragile peace process at the moment. It is fragile because the rebels still control the majority of the country. They have to be persuaded to stop. Both sides have to be persuaded to end the terrible practice of child soldiers. The country will need a great deal of help to resource itself. But my impression in a brief visit to Sierra Leone was, first of all, what a beautiful country. What a rich country in its land, very rich agricultural land. What a rich country in its sea, fish teeming off the sea that other countries are stealing in the sense that they're taking it. And the curse of diamonds. That's the real problem, the curse of diamonds. So that other countries and other major exploiters, companies, come in and rape that country for its diamonds.
And obviously diamonds could be a potential source of wealth for Sierra Leone in the right hands.
Yeah, they have this, they have it in their land, they have it in their sea, and they have it in their diamonds, but it's not for the people at the moment. It's dividing them. It's the source of just a terrible, unhappy fate, a curse.
Using Sierra Leone as an example, how, though, do you suggest that the world work to prevent human rights violations rather than prosecuting violations after the fact?
I think both Kosovo and Sierra Leone are very telling examples of the importance of that. If we had listened to all the messages, we knew what was happening in Kosovo. In effect, we knew also what was happening in Sierra Leone, even if we didn't pay as much attention. We need to understand the importance of preventing conflicts from worsening, divides from becoming ethnic groups that will arm themselves. We need to resource the very institutions which will create stability and prevent conflict. Courts, a proper system of administration, good governance, tackling corruption, building human rights institutions, human rights education. All of this is doable. There's nothing impossible about creating a culture of human rights in a country. I have great faith in the very real potential of doing so in Sierra Leone. But it's much, much harder afterwards. It's much, much harder to ask people who've had family members with amputated limbs or killed or daughters raped to forgive, to live with, to accept in government people that they would say in their hearts must be responsible for some of this.
Will you go back to Sierra Leone?
I would very much like to. I think, firstly, I will follow very closely. I was very glad to meet the foreign minister at the and indeed President Kaba at the OAU summit in Algiers just last month, so a few weeks after I'd been in Sierra Leone. As I said, my special advisor, Brian Burdekin, is there at the moment. I would say that in a few months' time, it might be very good to return and see what progress has been made, I hope.
Well, High Commissioner Mary Robinson, thank you very much for joining us today on Fresh Air.
Okay, thank you.
Mary Robinson is the UN Commissioner for Human Rights.